Hi, and welcome to In Search of Insight, Nootropics Depot's monthly podcast. I'm your podcast host, Erica, and sitting next to me is our product specialist at Nootropics Depot, Emil.
Hey, everyone.
Today, Emil and I are going to be telling you about Tribugen, which is our Tribulus Terrestris stack from Natrium Health. And we're going to be talking about the different ingredients that are in this stack, because we decided to take a slightly different approach when thinking about how to optimize a Tribulus Terrestris extract. And what we decided was to add some different ingredients that would really complement the already really motivation-boosting and intense energy effects of the Tribulus Terrestris. And Emil's going to tell you about those different ingredients and how Nootropics Depot went about finding those ingredients, putting them together, beta testing them, and basically the process that led us to Tribugen, which is a really interesting and very effective motivational stack.
Yeah, it's pretty intense, and we'll take it right now so you can see how intense the effects are. We have already taken it once on the podcast that we did with Lucas Aoun. There we just took a normal dose, and it was quite stimulating. I think you especially saw in Erica and I an enhanced sense of confidence that was not there with Lucas, because Lucas actually didn't take the Tribugen while we were recording. So it was interesting, and you can go back and reference that one and see how different we are in that scenario compared to Lucas. This time, there were a few of you on Reddit that were saying, I would love to see Emil megadose the Tribugen when you eventually do a Tribugen podcast. So we have arrived at that date. I will be kind of megadosing it. I'll take a double dose, so four capsules total. I really don't feel comfortable going much higher because it is such an intense effect. And to be honest, I'm a little bit nervous for a double dose anyways.
But because you're feeling nervous, I thought, why don't I just join you?
Okay.
Because I'm feeling up for it, and I'm very curious to see what the effects of a double dose will be like for me.
Me too. No one has tried this around the office that I'm aware of. I'm sure some of you have already tried it. It is a very popular product at the moment. So I'm sure people have experimented with higher doses, or I have heard of people taking multiple doses in a day. I haven't really heard of people taking a double dose, so I'm curious. I'm a little bit nervous, and that's good, because we get to explore maybe a different aspect of Tribugen that we haven't discovered yet on this podcast. And if anything, we're going to be very animated, which will make for quite a fun podcast. So let's get that process started right now.
For sure. And while Emil measures out our dose, our double dose of Tribugen, as always, for anyone who's new to the podcast, you can find chapters, so that's little sections of the subjects that we're talking about throughout the podcast, that's going to be in the description of every streaming platform, and you can also find links to Nootropics Depot's website where you can buy Tribugen and try it for yourself, and you can also see links to our social media and all these different things. So that's just in the description as always, and it's time to cheers!
And for those who don't believe us, there really are four capsules here. This is a very high dose of Tribugen. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend this right now. Maybe I will give it more of an endorsement later on.
Yeah, this is fully an experiment. So for now, don't try this at home.
Yes.
Cheers. Okay, cheers. So what hits me right away is the smell of one of the ingredients in this stack, which is fenugreek.
Yes.
It's a really powerful smell. And for anyone who's curious to learn more about fenugreek, we have talked about it in previous podcasts. Did we do a whole podcast episode on it?
I don't think we have. No.
That would be fun for sometime in the future. But we have talked about it at length, and we've talked about the effects that it can give, a little bit unique, that sometimes your sweat or urine can smell like maple syrup.
Yes.
Some people find the smell pleasant, some others find it not so pleasant, but it is really strong, and you can definitely smell it just from the capsules in Tribugen.
And it's being caused by a compound called sotalon, which is produced in fenugreek, and it is actually produced in maple syrup. So there really is, it smells like maple syrup because it is in maple syrup. Another place where you see sotalon show up is actually in fermentations, and when certain compounds in those ferments become oxidized. So if you look, for example, in sherry wine or vin jaune from the Jura region, those are high in sotalon too. So if you were to smell those, you might notice a very slight maple syrup type of smell, almost like a savory type of smell, and that's the similar thing that you're getting with fenugreek. The interesting thing is that soglon can make it into your sweat. And because it is such a highly aromatic compound, your sweat can smell slightly like maple syrup.
Yeah.
I do have to say, it does seem to be a little bit less pronounced in our fenugreek when compared to other people's fenugreek, because we have heard of people taking a single dose of other fenugreeks and immediately getting that maple syrup smell. And with ours, there seems to be a bit of a delay. It will show up over time, but it won't be super strong. So you're not going to be walking around smelling like a maple syrup farm.
But if you're curious why the Tribugen smells like this, that's where it's coming from. And if you haven't tried fenugreek by itself, I definitely recommend it. It's really nice. I find it super mood boosting. That's part of the reason why it was added to the Tribulus or the Tribugen stack in the first place.
Yeah. So that kind of gives us a good jumping off point to talk about why we did it. And the title of this podcast being that we made the next level Tribulus terrestris. And I really think that's true, because we tweaked the effects to kind of bolster some of the positive effects and minimize some of the negative effects. So to get into that, when we first started beta testing Tribulus terrestris, we had a bunch of different extracts from all over the world. Everyone said, you have to go to Bulgaria. Bulgaria has the best Tribulus. Okay, great. We go there. We find a great Bulgarian Tribulus extract. It's extremely expensive. We try it and it makes us feel awful. Like,
what did you feel like?
It just really overstimulated, a little bit nauseous. Like, everything was just kicked up into like a higher drive, and it wasn't that pleasant. I can imagine that some people can be really into that effect.
Did you find it motivating?
I didn't find it. It was probably motivating, but I felt terrible.
Okay.
So
doesn't matter then.
No.
Yeah.
Like, for me, motivation, I need that push, that aggressiveness that Tribulus can get if I want to be motivated. But it can't be too much, because then I'm just jittery and my mind is going a million miles a minute and I can't really take that motivation and focus and apply it to where it needs to be applied. So for me, it's not a great extract. It was the same for Paul and a few other people on our team. I don't think you ever tried that one.
No, I didn't try it.
But it was just kind of unpleasant. So, but I can understand if you're a hardcore bodybuilder, you're going to the gym, you're trying to set a PR for your one rep max. Yeah, it's great. You want that aggressive type of stimulation that's almost a little bit unpleasant, almost makes you jump out of your skin, which can make you lift really heavy weights off the floor. So I think there it's good. If you look at powerlifters and bodybuilders, sometimes they're also smelling the ammonia salts, which really wakes you up and gets your central nervous system going, and that's what they use when they go and lift weights. If we were to do smelling salts right now and sit here, I think it would be an extremely unpleasant effect, because there's nowhere for that energy to go. So do understand that for some people, you really want that Tribulus terrestris to be as potent and aggressive and rough and edgy as possible, if that's what you're going for.
Sure.
That's not what the general population seems to want, though.
Because what is the typical use or the typical reason why someone reaches for Tribulus terrestris in the first place?
As an aphrodisiac. That's really the main thing, and you see a lot of research on this, and there's actually a lot of anecdotes and research within women too. So this is quite a studied botanical for its sexual function promoting effects. And again, I don't think you necessarily want to be feeling aggressive on edge when engaging in a sexual activity. So having a more mellow Tribulus terrestris extract would be better then. And if you think about the early uses, the traditional uses of it, because it has been used for a really long time all over the world, in India, in Bulgaria, of course, throughout Europe. The thing about Tribulus terrestris is that it is an invasive species. So it's basically everywhere.
Okay.
And I guess let's talk about that real quick.
Sure.
You've probably gotten some Tribulus terrestris stuck in your bicycle tire or on your shoes or just generally been hurt once or twice by Tribulus, depending on where in the world you live.
I was going to ask, what kind of environments does it typically grow in?
It grows everywhere, and that's the thing.
Oh,
it doesn't care if your soil is completely depleted of nutrients and it's dry and there's no rain, it will grow. So We actually saw a little bit of it in our front yard when we lived in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Super dry, there was no watering going on, but Tribulus was having a great time and it was proliferating and going all over the place. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why it goes all over the place is because it has these little fruits, and the little fruits have spikes. And when they're fresh, the spikes can still kind of stick you, but when they dry and the fruit, which contains the seeds, they become harder and harder, and then you step on them and they stick on your shoes, they stick on your clothes, they stick on your bicycle tires, they stick on your car tires, they stick on the feet of animals, they stick on all sorts of stuff, and then you take them all around and then they fall off. So if you drive over one with your car, maybe it doesn't fall off for a few hundred kilometers. Mm-hmm. So now it's just spreading everywhere. So it is an invasive species. It's kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a nasty plant.
Yeah,
in
it's
that
pretty
sense.
Annoying. We've had an experience where we were out in the desert and we were walking through a grass field, but there were a lot of what we were told goat heads. That's what they called the little fruit, the dried fruit, which has these like really prickly spikes off of it, and they were sticking on our socks and our shoes and everything, so you definitely couldn't sit down in the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know I didn't know that it was Tribulus at the time, but now we know.
Yeah, and the fruits is where most of the bioactives are. So you harvest the fruits and you use the fruits, and traditionally you're not using very high concentrations of it. You just have the fruit, you're probably making a tea of it, maybe you're just eating the fruit straight. It's providing a pretty mild overall effect. So these new generation of Tribulus terrestris extracts are very much catered towards enhancing testosterone in men, being really intense and alpha male type of products. That's where they're in, that's where they're being marketed, and within that part of the market, it is very beneficial to have these Tribulus terrestris extracts be kind of, in our opinion, unbalanced, edgy, almost anxiety-inducing. Which is great if that's what you understand as being an alpha male, just being aggressive and agitated. Which,
yeah.
You know, for some people, maybe.
And we all experience some variance and effects from supplements. Like, there are supplements that you'll take and that affect you in a particular way, and it's different for me, and that's not just because you're a man and I'm a woman, that's also because of our personalities and other factors that come into play as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it is funny to think about this like super edgy, over the top, anxiety inducing effect being a part of the alpha male experience.
Mm-hmm.
But we could say a little bit more on that maybe as we continue.
Yeah, and it differs from person to person and what you're into and what your profession is. I know one of my friends, Torlife, if you're watching this, hello. He has worked on big like oil refinery rigs in the middle of nowhere in really cold temperatures with a bunch of other really hardened dudes that...
Macho
stuff. They've just been there. All they're doing is basically deadlifting like 200 pounds over and over and over all day long in like minus 30 degree weather.
Yeah.
In that scenario, for my friend, I think he would like a Tribulus terrestris extract that's very stimulating.
Yeah.
And I know he likes stimulants too, a lot of caffeine and things like that. So for him, that works great.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of others, when we're sitting in an office and we're having meetings, it's not always so nice to be ready to attack someone.
But when you're doing dangerous and really physically demanding work, it would make sense that having something that really gives you a serious boost would be a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you were talking about how bodybuilders will reach for these really intense, motivating, and kind of edgy supplements.
Exactly. So it makes sense. But we wanted to explore the other side because I think our product catalog is not entirely catered towards that. We have definitely dipped our toes into the bodybuilding world, but there's a lot of overlap for us, where you have hardcore bodybuilders intermingling with people who like to go on long hikes, or people who like to cycle, play some tennis, or people who are more creative, working in the music industry, going out and playing a gig, like for you. It could be nice to have that extra energy and confidence and stamina to play a long 3-4 hour gig.
So even though Tribulus terrestris is typically thought of as like a testosterone boosting supplement and something that bodybuilders or only men are going to benefit from, and you're going to have some really specific androgenic benefits, the Tribugen stack is designed for a broader audience, let's say.
Well, yes and no. Let's first stay a little bit behind and talk about the Tribulus Terrestris extract that we ended up going for.
I'm curious to get back to that also.
So we tested a bunch of them. The Bulgarian ones, the really high-end, really expensive ones, by the way. If you're getting Bulgarian Tribulus for a decent price, I hate to break it to you, you're probably not taking real Bulgarian Tribulus, because we were shocked at how expensive it was. And we are still kind of considering, maybe at some point we'll release a Bulgarian Tribulus, but we'd have to charge so much money for it, I don't know if anyone's ready to actually pay that. It is a unique effect, but to go to the Tribulus Terrestris extract that we went for, we tested about 10 different ones. Had a lot of bad experiences, had a lot of lackluster experiences where you kind of get an inkling of it, but then it fades away and it's not that interesting. And I think traditional use-wise, that's kind of how it was being used. Not in these crazy extracts that are super potent, but in these more full spectrum, just eating the fruit even, or making a tea out of the fruit, to give you a little bit more vitality, a little bit more energy, a little bit less inflammation, just general tonic. We want to be there, but a bit enhanced.
Okay.
So we eventually found an extract that both Paul and I could agree on. It's giving us that just get up and go motivation. It is almost a little bit anxiety inducing. It's not something that Paul and I like a lot, but we really understand the appeal of that Tribulus Terrestris extract. It's standardized to 20% protodiosin. That's one of the bioactives, and we'll get back to that in a little bit, why that's important. But that's what we ended up going with, a smooth overall Tribulus Terrestris extract.
And where did this extract come from, if not from Bulgaria? Where
I believe it's coming from either India or China.
Okay.
And that's another hard thing. How do you know something is actually coming from Bulgaria? The Bulgarian person could be getting Tribulus from China or India and importing it into Bulgaria and then selling it to you from Bulgaria as a Bulgarian Tribulus. But is it really, and can you actually test if it's Bulgarian Tribulus? It gets a little bit convoluted. There does seem to be, the one we got, we really did get a confirmation that that was from Bulgaria. It's a very reputable company that we were getting it from, and it has an interesting effect. But the one we ended up going for is nice and smooth. It has the main bioactive. So the whole argument with Bulgarian Tribulus is that Bulgarian Tribulus is the highest, just standard, in protodeosin, which is one of the main bioactives. But we actually discovered over time that protodeosin isn't giving that aggressive, energizing feeling. There seems to be something else in Tribulus causing that. So there is a little bit of a distinction there. And we do actually think that the Bulgarian Tribulus is producing more of these type of compounds. And these compounds we call the beta carbolines. These are monoamine oxidase inhibitors. And specifically, we're looking at harmane and norharmane. Those are the two main beta carbolines that are usually present in Tribulus terrestris, and there are some other very unique looking beta carbolines in there which are going to be acting as monoamine oxidase inhibitors. So we've talked about monoamine oxidase inhibitors a lot on this podcast, but quick recap, there's two main ones: monoamine oxidase A, MAOA, and monoamine oxidase B, MAOB. MAOA is mostly responsible for breaking down serotonin and norepinephrine and a little bit of dopamine. But it's quite strong at norepinephrine. And norepinephrine gives you that aggressive, kind of tight energy feeling that you can get from Tribulus terrestris and other norepinephrine active ingredients, compounds. So norharmane, and then monoamine oxidase B is mostly concerned with breaking down dopamine. So if you have monoamine oxidase A and monoamine oxidase B at full activity, then if your neurons are releasing these neurotransmitters like dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine, then monoamine oxidase A and monoamine oxidase B is swooping in and it's breaking those compounds down, or those neurotransmitters down, and that then stops their activity at the receptors. So that means if norepinephrine is producing a stimulating effect, monoamine oxidase A can get rid of that stimulating effect. And a lot of people, and this is kind of interesting, I've heard this over and over, that monoamine oxidase A inhibition is the more mellow one because it's causing a higher increase of serotonin, because one of the main functions of monoamine oxidase A is to break down serotonin. But what a lot of people don't realize is that monoamine oxidase A is way more specialized for norepinephrine. So, in my experience, trying out very selective monoamine oxidase A and monoamine oxidase B inhibitors, the monoamine oxidase A inhibitor produces a bit more edginess, a bit more of that norepinephrine type stimulation. Monoamine oxidase B, because it's more specialized mainly for dopamine and phenethylamine, produces a more motivating and more functional effect. It can also get quite stimulating, but I do find that monoamine oxidase B inhibition is usually a little bit more mellow. This will be important a little bit later on, so keep that in mind.
I have a question for you before we get deeper into the the pharmacokinetics or
pharmacodynamics
in this case. You mentioned something about the traditional use of tribulus terrestris, and I'm curious, where was it being traditionally used?
In Bulgaria and in India.
Okay.
And probably in China, but mainly India and Bulgaria.
Okay.
And mainly for enhancing overall libido and energy levels a bit. And actually for reducing inflammation, and especially inflammation in joints. So I think that's quite an interesting use of it, because you don't really hear a lot of people talking about that. But I do notice a slight anti-inflammatory effect with tribugen and tribulus terrestris. So that seems to be there. But that's the main traditional use.
Okay.
So if we're going to go back into the pharmacodynamics, we have tribulus terrestris with protodeosin. That's important for the hormones, and we'll touch on that later. But then you have these beta-carbolines, harmane and norharmane. And harmane and norharmane are both very specialized. Especially harmane is more selective at monoamine oxidase A than it is at B. I would say harmane is so selective at monoamine oxidase A over B that it is only really hitting monoamine oxidase A. Which is important to note, because that is causing an increase in norepinephrine, much more so than monoamine oxidase B inhibition. And I think that's where a lot of that edginess is coming from. And then that's combining very nicely with the androgenic type of effects of protodeosin. So those two are coming together nicely. And now you have just a general overview of what tribulus terrestris is doing in terms of its stimulating, motivating effects. The really important thing here is that protodeosin is enhancing the activity of 5-alpha reductase, 5-AR. 5-AR is an enzyme that converts testosterone to dihydrotestosterone. Dihydrotestosterone is a much stronger androgen than testosterone and seems to be more indicated for enhancing libido, enhancing confidence, enhancing motivation. So you take that with the stimulating norepinephrine and serotonin boosting effects of the monoamine oxidase A inhibition and some dopamine there too, you combine them, and of course you're going to get a very nice motivating effect. And I think the very stimulating Bulgarian ones are just much higher in harmane and norharmane, and that's what's producing that additional stimulation.
Okay.
Which we don't totally like.
Yeah.
But when we released our tribulus terrestris, there were still a lot of people who didn't find it had the punch that they were looking for. So they wanted a stronger one. So we went back to the Bulgarian one. We tried that. We tried a few different ones. We just weren't convinced. So we started looking really in-depth at the pharmacodynamics. And we, at the time, we were also playing around with fenugreek. Fenugreek contains protodeosin, but also has a lot of other bioactives like trigonelline, which can enhance dopamine release. And when we were playing around with it in isolation, we really liked the mood-boosting, energizing effects of fenugreek. Then Dioscorea nipponica is a wild yam species, and it's very high in protodeosin, much higher than our tribulus terrestris extract. So we were able to get a Dioscorea nipponica extract that had 40% protodeosin, whereas our tribulus terrestris only contains 20%. And I say only 20% in comparison to Dioscorea nipponica, but 20% protodeosin in a tribulus extract is still very high. So we had this idea. What if we just bump up the protodeosin content of tribulus? Does that make it more interesting? So instead of taking more Tribulus terrestris to bump up the Protodeosin content and potentially produce more of that edgy stimulation, what happens if we just put in Dioscorea nipponica? To our surprise, it actually mellowed it out, but it also reinforced some of the libido-enhancing effects, the overall hormonal effects, the mood-boosting effects. All of that was enhanced, but the stimulation was pushed down. So when we added in the Dioscorea nipponica, it mellowed out the effects, which was totally not what we expected, because we thought Dioscorea nipponica would enhance the stimulating effects. And this is when we still weren't 100% clued in into what Tribulus terrestris was doing to increase this level of stimulation. So then we tried some Dioscorea nipponica out on itself, and it produces a really nice, mellow, warming, motivating effect. Kind of the polar opposite of Tribulus. But it does seem to have some of those same Tribulus terrestris effects, like enhanced motivation, enhanced libido, maybe enhanced recovery and a bit of enhanced strength. All of those kind of androgenic hormonal things that you would associate with it. So this was an interesting starting point, and Paul and I both actually liked the combination of Dioscorea nipponica and Tribulus terrestris more than we liked Tribulus terrestris by itself. Another combination we did, because we really like the effects of fenugreek, and fenugreek contains a very small amount of protodeosin, just 1%, we thought, hey, maybe that's a cool one to add on, because that might also shave off some of the effects, and it might enhance some of the motivation, because the trigonelline in fenugreek seems to enhance dopamine release. So that would then modify and shift the profile a bit more over to dopamine rather than norepinephrine. When we tried that combination, we really liked it, and it didn't cut off the stimulation as much. It actually enhanced it a little bit. And when we released our fenugreek, a lot of people just naturally gravitated towards this stack. We mentioned it, I think, on the product page. A lot of people took that advice, ordered fenugreek and Tribulus terrestris, started combining them, and they were having really good success. So we already knew, just from monitoring what was happening on Reddit and some of the emails we were getting from customers, that the combination of Tribulus terrestris and fenugreek worked out really well, because a lot of people who weren't initially able to take Tribulus terrestris because it was a little bit too stimulating noticed a much nicer balance of effects when they stacked it with fenugreek. Mm. So at this point, we thought, that's the stack. We're going to do Tribulus terrestris, we're going to do Dioscorea nipponica, and we're going to do fenugreek. Just three things together. We got a little batch of it made up. I got a bottle sent over, and we went to Portugal for a vacation.
Last year.
So this was in development for quite a while. When we went to Portugal, the south of Portugal, there's a lot of hiking that can be done. And on a few days, I took it, and I was a little bit apprehensive because I was nice and chill on my holiday, and I didn't really want to get all frizzy fried from Tribulus. Yeah. But to my surprise, when I took it, I was in a great mood and I was a bit more relaxed. But I also had the motivation and energy to hike all day long and to see a lot. So I really liked it. And then Paul, at the same time, I think, was shoveling a bunch of snow, and he was saying there was just something about the combination that made him go so long that he actually way overshot his physical capacity, and he was extremely sore the next day. But it gave him that much physical energy. So we knew we were onto something, but I did notice when we came back, and I was taking it a few times and like writing a blog or interacting with people on Reddit, that the mentally stimulating focus enhancing effects that were there with Tribulus terrestris were shaved off quite a bit.
Mm.
Because Dioscorea nipponica is a lot more mellow, and fenugreek is a lot more mellow, but it is adding to that hormonal effect, it is adding to the overall libido aphrodisiac effects, but there is something missing now. So how do we add that back in? One of the things that I was thinking about, and this is where the monoamine oxidase A and B conversation becomes important again, is that we have a product, Vignetex, which is very specialized for, and I don't know if you're feeling this now, but I just started feeling the first waves of Tribugen coming on.
I am feeling it, but I want you to finish what you were going to say, and then we can talk about what
I just thought I'd mention it, because my hands are starting to feel lighter.
Okay.
And I'm feeling kind of like a tingly feeling up my spine going over my head, and that's something I always notice with Tribugen. But to go back to that, we have Vignetex. Vignetex is a very selective monoamine oxidase B inhibitor. So it is producing more dopamine levels, because now dopamine isn't getting broken down as quickly, because you're inhibiting the main enzyme that's breaking down dopamine, which is monoamine oxidase B. This is interesting because the stimulating component of Tribulus terrestris seems to be due mainly to monoamine oxidase A inhibition, which produces higher levels of norepinephrine than monoamine oxidase B inhibition. Norepinephrine is very important for focus. It's also important for the aphrodisiac libido enhancing effect, and it's important for the motivation effect, but it is on a very much a bell-shaped response curve. Too little norepinephrine, you're feeling low mood, low motivation, low focus. Right in the middle, everything is optimized, you're really dialed in, and you go over too much, and then you start getting these stressful, almost anxiety type of feelings, which isn't great. So we want to try and avoid that. But dopamine is really important for motivation. So if we want to further enhance the motivation effects without affecting that edginess as much, maybe the real strategy is we enhance dopamine levels. So we can do that by adding in another monoamine oxidase B inhibitor, or by adding in a monoamine oxidase inhibitor, but this time a selective monoamine oxidase B inhibitor.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're creating now is a balanced profile where we have one selective monoamine oxidase A inhibitor and we have a selective monoamine oxidase B inhibitor. Those are coming together now, and we're enhancing the stimulating effects quite significantly, but because we're a little bit more reserved on the norepinephrine side, it's smoother now. And that really worked. If you just take Tribulus terrestris and you stack it with Vignetex, it is quite a bit more stimulating, but it doesn't seem to get as edgy.
That sounds like an intense combination.
Well, you just took it. Because in Tribugen, there is the main ingredient in Vignetex, which is mung bean extract. And
okay.
The mung bean extract is what's causing the monoamine oxidase B inhibition.
Is there anything else in Vignetex that's not in the Tribugen stack?
Yeah, so we do have a little bit of passion flower in the Vignetex stack, and passion flower kind of smooths off the edges a little bit,
okay.
But we already have that with fenugreek and Dioscorea, so we didn't need that. All we needed was that monoamine oxidase B inhibition from the
mung bean. Okay.
And basically what I did is I had some Vignetex, I had some of this sample of the Dioscorea fenugreek tribulus terrestris, and I just started combining those, and I really like the effects. Now that last little bit of missing mental focus and mental stimulation and motivation now was there again. So now it's smoother than just tribulus terrestris or a stronger tribulus terrestris extract, but it is also more powerful. It is more motivation enhancing, it is more focus enhancing. It's really nice now. But the one thing that was still missing a little bit was that physical stamina feeling. It's not that the fenugreek and Dioscorea shaved that off of the tribulus at all. We just wanted to enhance it a bit more. And when we added in the Vignetex, we were expecting, or the mung bean, we were expecting maybe an enhancement in physical energy, but it wasn't that pronounced. So we wanted something else in there. And we wanted something that could maybe boost dopamine levels just a bit more. So, cordyceps. Specifically, our cordyceps militaris 10:1 extract. We find that one is quite physically stimulating. It's likely because of its high cordycepin content and some of the other related compounds. And one thing that cordycepin does, and just cordyceps in general, it can enhance your VO2 max, it can kind of enhance how you're utilizing oxygen, and that can have a beneficial effect on overall physical fitness and endurance and stamina. And we definitely noticed that just generally with cordyceps, so we thought this would be a good thing to add in. The other additional nice thing about cordyceps is that it enhances an enzyme called tyrosine hydroxylase, and tyrosine hydroxylase takes L-tyrosine from our diet and converts it to L-dopa, and then that L-dopa is converted to dopamine. The tyrosine hydroxylase enzyme you call a rate-limiting enzyme because it can get saturated, and when it gets saturated, it will no longer convert L-tyrosine to L-dopa, which then minimizes dopamine production. So if we want to enhance dopamine production, we want to enhance the activity, the capacity of the rate-limiting enzyme, which is tyrosine hydroxylase. And that's exactly what Cordyceps mellitus does. So over time, the effects will also get a bit better. But even in the moment, we're now getting more dopamine from the monoamine oxidase B inhibition. We're getting more dopamine from this tyrosine hydroxylase enhancement from Cordyceps. And another really interesting thing that Cordyceps does, which is coming out in fairly new research now, is that it seems to downregulate the amount of adenosine A2A receptors. And this is one of the receptors that caffeine targets.
Okay.
So one of the ways by which caffeine makes us feel awake is because it blocks the adenosine A2A and the A1A and a few other adenosine receptors. And the A2A receptor is specifically important because it can form heteromers, so basically a pair, two receptors that are linked and can communicate with each other and influence how they work, with the dopamine D2 receptor. And the dopamine D2 receptor is very important for motivation, mood, focus, all of these things. So when the adenosine A2A receptor is turned on, the dopamine D2 receptor, the activity decreases. So if we decrease the levels of adenosine A2A with Cordyceps mellitus, then over time, we will produce more activity at the dopamine D2 receptor. So Cordyceps mellitus, right in the moment and over time, shifts things a little bit more towards the dopaminergic side.
Is this the same Cordyceps that's in the Mushroom Magic Matcha and Mushroom Magic Coffee?
It's not.
Okay.
We will come out with baller edition, so
ooh,
the more expensive mushroom extracts, and the Cordyceps 10-to-1 will make an appearance in there, and it will be a very nice effect. But currently in the Cordyceps or in the Mushroom Magics, we have just our normal 1-to-1 Cordyceps.
Okay.
Which also produces all of these effects, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But there does seem to be something unique about the 10-to-1 in its ability to enhance physical energy. And that works really well in the Tribugen stack. And that's it. That's the Tribugen stack. When we added all of those in, because I had some Cordyceps 10-to-1 at home, I had some Vignatex at home, and I had this initial batch. And first I did some Vignatex, and then the initial batch of Fenugreek, Dioscorea, and Tribulus. Very nice. And then I did Vignatex and a dose of the Cordyceps 10-to-1, and that really took it to the next level. Paul started trying this stack too. He also agreed, and he was saying he was getting super jacked up from the full dose. Like, really, like, this is kind of borderline insane. It does seem that Paul and I are very sensitive to tribulus and monoamine oxidase inhibitors. So, yeah, for us, it was really like rocket fuel. It was intense. And I think he actually only just takes a single capsule of Tribugen because
okay,
it is so potent.
And we just took four.
We just took four. So I'm really starting to feel it now. Like, I want to jump up out of my seat and go for a run.
This is really interesting. I am feeling something quite different, but I can have this experience sometimes. With stimulating supplements, my eyes feel a little bit heavy, like my eyelids.
Interesting.
And in general, I feel a little bit tired. And I do have this experience sometimes when taking stimulating supplements, so it's not totally out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes with stimulating supplements, I can experience this sort of wave of calm / maybe overstimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And that can result in a feeling of tiredness or the feeling like I have to yawn. And this is a similar thing that I can get if I drink too much coffee. But maybe this has nothing to do with the tribulus. I'll let you know how it continues. But so far, the part that I'm noticing the most is this feeling of like a little bit of a focus on my eyes. And like you said, the top of your head kind of through your spine, your attention sort of gathers there. Or it's
mm-hmm.
like I feel like I'm focusing more on this part of my body than other parts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see and let you know how things change. But at this moment, I don't feel an extreme difference in my mood. I do feel focused, which
mm-hmm.
is good, but the physical effects so far have really just been that my eyelids feel kind of heavy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you notice that when we took it with Lucas too?
No, not that I recall.
So, yeah, maybe at this higher dose, some of the... Because this is a lot of protodeosin now. So, maybe that is having an effect.
Could be.
Protodeosin seems to convert to DHEA. Mm-hmm. DHEA can have a relaxing effect, and especially in women, it seems to have a bit of a relaxing effect. So, you might also be responding to a rapid increase in DHEA levels currently.
Yeah.
So let's actually talk about that. So now this is the full stack.
I have a question mm-hmm. for you before we start talking about the sort of men versus women benefits. Mm-hmm. I think that's where you were going.
I was actually going to explain what protodeosin is doing, but we can go to your question.
I have one question, which is how you decided the amount of ingredients, not the Tribulus terrestris in Tribugen, but mm-hmm. for the other ingredients that are in this stack. How did you go about deciding how much to use of each thing? Fenugreek and mung bean and cordyceps. And what mm-hmm. was the other one?
Cordyceps, mung bean, Dioscorea.
Dioscorea.
Yeah. Just trying it out. The first thing was, let's just go for full doses of everything mm-hmm. and see how that feels. Okay, it's a little bit unbalanced. Now let's tweak things here and there. And now we arrived. So choosing dosages is always a bit of a tricky thing. Basically, we look at the research and we see what kind of dosages are normally being used, what target level amounts, milligram amounts of the bioactives, like protodeosin, do you want to hit? And just going through there, and just selecting, okay, like the full dose, the 500 milligram dose of fenugreek was just a bit too calming. It actually added a bit too much warmth and pleasantness to the overall mix, especially with the Dioscorea and Eponica. So we actually did half the normal dose of fenugreek. The other ones, I think they're just at full doses that we have in our normal products. So again, this is an indication that this is intense stuff. This mm-hmm. is not, we didn't sprinkle a little bit of mung bean in there. We didn't sprinkle a little bit of cordyceps in there. We're just writing full-on doses of everything except the fenugreek. And the reason we're not going for full doses of the fenugreek was because it was holding back the effects and the intensity a bit. So we wanted to make it as intense as possible, but also as smooth as possible. And I think that's why, especially the title of this YouTube video, I really do think that this is next-level Tribugen or Tribulus, because we looked at the pharmacology, the pharmacodynamics, and we looked how we could tweak that, and we used a lot of our collective experience, just having done this a long time, having done a lot of research on this, and knowing how the different pharmacodynamic profiles match up with each other. And a lot of this is really from just trying stuff out on ourselves, because mm-hmm. the only reason I know that monoamine oxidase A inhibitors are really almost anxiety inducing for me is because I have experience with highly selective monoamine oxidase A inhibitors, and I have experience with highly selective monoamine oxidase B inhibitors. And my experience with those two informed my thinking of, okay, maybe we actually have to shift the focus a little bit more over to monoamine oxidase B. The thing that where we're going wrong with the almost edginess is because we just keep increasing that monoamine oxidase A inhibiting effect.
Hmm.
And again, we're not doing cell level studies on this. We're not testing it and seeing. This is really based on educated guesses.
And bioassaying.
And bioassaying.
Mm-hmm.
And educating guesses, it's more than that. There's a lot of research going into it. We know mm-hmm. the pharmacodynamics, we know what should be happening on paper, and based on that we then go in and see what does it actually do in us. And I think mm-hmm. this is something that a lot of people don't necessarily do. They research, especially when you're putting even together your own stack, you research and you go, okay, well, if I'm taking this, then I absolutely have to take this with it, and you just do it because that's what the paper says, but you don't pay attention to how it feels. And for example, we see a lot of people go wrong with choline. A lot of people say, if you're especially back in the day taking certain compounds that we won't talk about, if they're not working optimally for you, just take choline with it. And then people were taking choline with it and their mood was dropping rapidly. But no, the research is saying I should be taking choline with it, so there's no way I'm not going to take choline with it, even though it makes me feel like shit. And that's where our expertise in bioassaying, I think, is really important, because we could have said, okay, let's crank up the monoamine oxidase A inhibition a bit, or, well, not even, let's just enhance the amount of tribulus terrestris that's in there, let's go for a more intense extract, but then not really bioassay it. And then maybe we have something that's like oddly stimulating and oddly calming at the same time, and they're clashing with each other. We want these things to be harmonious. We mm-hmm. want them all to come together, mm-hmm. just like how a musician, oh, you have your bass part, okay, cool. You have your drum part, how do those sound together? Great, now you have the nice foundation. Now you're adding in some guitar parts. Oh, that doesn't sound great.
Mm-hmm.
Now maybe we have to change up our foundation a little bit. Maybe we have to change up the guitar part a bit. Maybe we have to change up the lyrics. Maybe we have to change up the timing of it, whatever. But you're constantly listening.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it, and then you're going back and you're listening to the full mix, and you go, nah, that doesn't really work. And that's how we're developing supplements too. Imagine if you just had five musicians who never met each other, who never recorded with each other, and someone just sends them a paper and says, play this. And they play it, and they send it, and then someone who's not involved with the music project at all just puts all of those instruments together into something that sounds okay and just sends it out into the world.
Once upon a time, that is how music was made, back in the day when there were active studio and session musicians, but there were also really expert composers and really expert mixing engineers and really expert conductors who were making it actually work together. So, well, I just had to add a little bit into your example.
But I think if you actually go back a serious amount mm-hmm. in time, that's not how things were going.
No.
Because you didn't have that ability. Nowadays, though, you could have someone in a country thousands of kilometers away from you record a vocal part, even if you've never met them, and it can work well-ish mm-hmm. if you know what you're doing. But really the best thing is to have, I think, all of the musicians in one room together, have them play together, have them interact with each other. You have the nice dynamics that show up there, and like you said, there needs to be a good composer of the music, maybe a leader of the group that takes it all together. And here the leader in the group is Tribulus Terrestris. That's the star of the show. That's the virtuoso guitar player or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, virtuoso guitar players are kind of assholes sometimes too. They can be kind of edgy and aggressive, just like Tribulus Terrestris. So you need some people to calm them down. Maybe a really good, confident bass player, a really good, confident drummer to keep them in line and keep... That's what we're doing with Tribugen too. We don't want this big, jumbled mess of free jazz that's not actually free jazz, because it's just people jamming hardcore and it's just there's not a whole lot going on. Kind of similar with Tribugen. We want it to be chaotic but controlled chaos,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's giving you the motivation, and yeah, in a sense we're composing a stack, trying it, experimenting with different dosages, experimenting mm-hmm. with, oh, what does it sound like on your car speakers versus at a venue? What does it sound like? Similar kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But really the important part is that there's a human element to our product design. And I
yes.
think without that, and without our interest in actually taking these products ourselves, there wouldn't be these unique products. And
mm-hmm.
I think recently Tribugen has really started to take off. There's a guy on Twitter called the Bowtie Biohacker. He's been mentioning Tribugen a lot, and we've just seen our Tribugen sales spike because he's really liking it and his followers are really liking it. So that's also why we're recording this podcast now, because there is this increased level of interest. So I thought, let's put the story out there of how we actually developed this product.
Mm-hmm. Now that I've taken, for example, the coriander extract for over a year, maybe even 2 years, I've taken it at various times of the day. I've taken it on an empty stomach. I've taken it on a full stomach. I take it right when I wake up. And last night I took it after coming home after a long day of practice, before going to sleep. So I've gotten to know the effects of this product really well, to the point that I know exactly what's going to happen when I take a dose. And I know how relaxed I'm going to be. I know basically how long it's going to give me those kinds of calming effects for, and I become familiar with just the effects, what's going on internally, to the point where I can decide, the best moment to take it. And you get really familiar with these products before they're ever sold from Nootropics Depot. So mm-hmm. you've taken the Tribulus Terrestris just by itself, but then mm-hmm. as you're bioassaying these combinations, you're taking it at different times of day, in different situations. We always try things in kind of contrasting situations. Like you're saying, sometimes you take a product when you're writing a blog. Other times you take a product when you're going out for dinner or going for a hike or going out dancing at a club. And the reason why you do that is so that you can really figure out, with all the variables in everyday life, what is the prominent effect from this product? What mm-hmm. is something, what are the effects that I can really perceive myself? And then how is this going to work from person to person? And getting some feedback from people in the office, from friends and family, people mm-hmm. who are willing to try it, and then test driving it in a situation like a podcast, for example, mm-hmm. where you can really see the way that it changes our speech patterns. You can change, you could see the way it changes the jokes that we make with each other. Yeah. And so the bioassaying is more than just taking it once and saying, I feel slightly sleepy, or I feel like more motivation, or, you know, my stomach feels calmer. It's something that happens over an extended period of time. And this effects profile that you're talking about, which is special from Nootropics Depot products, is something that is based on personal taste.
Mm-hmm.
But the products themselves are heavily researched and tested, of course, to quality and purity standards. So you already know that that's happening for every single product with Nootropics Depot. But there's an additional layer, which is that human element you're talking mm-hmm. about. And that human element is something I think that makes these products really special. And the Tribugen, now I've passed over this hump of the slight sleepiness, the slight tiredness, and I do feel like the calming effect is being balanced out by motivation and by a little bit of a boost as well. Mm-hmm. And this is something, this is a feeling I get from a lot of products from Nootropics Depot, but for me at this point, the Tribugen is much more calming than I expected it to be. I was a little bit nervous that the stimulation would make it go into this like edgy kind mm-hmm. of almost nauseous, like stomach turning territory, but it mm-hmm. hasn't at all.
No, I'm actually really surprised too, because now that I'm sitting here just listening to you and not talking, I also feel a little bit more chill. Like it is almost like some of the more calming compounds in here are becoming more pronounced now, which is interesting. And again, I really was expecting just a doubling of the stimulation effects, which definitely made me nervous, but I'm feeling great now. So this is a really nice overall effects profile. So maybe actually if you go a little bit lower in dose, then it's more stimulating. I don't know. We have a similar thing with lemon balm. When you take lemon balm at lower doses, it actually feels more calming than when you take it at higher doses. It starts to become stimulating. So there's definitely also, and this is why it's so interesting for us to try different doses of things and different combinations of things, because we get a feeling of what something does in different scenarios and different doses, and it can be really different. And yeah, I think the human element, it for me, is the most important thing. It's the most important thing for anything in life. I like to buy my coffee beans in person, and I go to coffee shops and I ask the barista there, especially roasting shops that are roasting their own coffee, like, what's good at the moment?
Mm-hmm.
And if I go in somewhere and someone says everything's good at the moment, I immediately just leave again. Like, get specific with it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, oh, I really like this one. It's new, like, it's maybe not the most exciting overall, but there's this really unique note there, and there's an interesting story behind the coffee. Boom, I'm sold.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing if I'm going to a wine shop. If I'm going to a wine shop and I ask someone just a random bottle, how does that taste, and they don't know, again, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I want that person to have tasted everything in the shop. I want them to know the person who cultivated the grapes, how they made the wine. You only have like 100 bottles of wine in the shop. You should know each one intimately.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few hundred products and I know them all intimately, and Paul knows them all intimately. So,
and if you need proof of that, we have a whole back catalog of podcasts where Emil is going on for hours, really hours, about all of our different products in our catalog. I mean, not every single one, but we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, and I think it's important because now people can come to us, customers or people on Reddit, and they say, I want something for this. Oh, you can try these, and these. But this one, like Tribugen, will give you motivation and physical energy. But if that's maybe not what you want and you want a more clean, kind of focused effect, then go for Fignatex. But if you just generally don't respond well to monoamine oxidase inhibitors, then you want to avoid all of the ones that have monoamine oxidase inhibitor effects. And you might want to go for something that's like a dopamine reuptake inhibitor, such as Suboxone. So we can get very granular because we understand the products. We try the products out. We know what they smell like, taste like, how they dissolve in different liquids. That's why we can quickly answer all of these questions, because we really know what our products are, what they do, where they come from, how they test. Like, I can visually pull up just chromatograms of certain things now because we've looked at chromatograms so many times. So recently we had a question about our coriander, actually, if it contained any camphor. And I could remember the chromatogram. There's just one giant peak. I went even off the screen there. One giant peak of linalool. And that's the main active. And then very low, you have these little bumps. And those can be the other potential volatile compounds that look similar to linalool. Camphor would be one of them. And we did end up finding very, very small concentration of camphor, but just being so familiar with the analytical data, the chromatograms, seeing all of these peaks, I can already make a lot of these almost assumptions, but like educated guesses again. And then we will go back and verify that that's actually the case. But that only happens because we like live and breathe these products. Every day I'm measuring out my supplements. Every day I'm interacting with the products and interacting with people on Reddit and trying out new things and formulating. And I think the human element makes us quite special.
I think so too. So we took a really long roundabout way of getting back to talking about protodiazin, which is probably the most well-known element of Tribulus terrestris in terms of its effects on testosterone and then it's just general androgenic effects. So let's start by talking about what is protodiazin and why did you decide to increase protodiazin from Dioscorea nipponica when you made the Tribugen stack?
Yeah. So if you look at the compound, and maybe Erica, you can put protodiazin right here. And then as we're talking, you should switch it to diosgenin.
Okay.
So protodiazin is considered a furostanyl saponin. There's a few of these, and a lot of these furostanyl saponins all have the same kind of core structure, and that core structure is diosgenin. So diosgenin is kind of the main core. You call that the aglycone, and then you decorate that aglycone with lots of different sugar groups, and then you get protodiazin, diosin. The real difference between diosin and protodiazin is simply a different sugar group placement. But, as we have talked about a few times in this podcast, sugar groups are cleaved off pretty quickly in the body, either by enzymes that are floating around in your body, the gut bacteria, and just being in water, being in an acid solution, in your stomach. All of those things can rip off those sugar groups, and the sugar groups make the compounds really big and bulky. So again, if you look at, probably right over here, protodiazin, and then compare it to, if you could switch it now to diosgenin, you can see how much smaller diosgenin is. And if we switch it back again to protodiazin, hey, protodiazin's a really big compound because of those sugar groups. That means it's probably dissolving into our stomach acid quite well, being distributed around, but it's not going to be absorbed as efficiently because it's a really big compound, and it's not really going to make it into the brain because it's too big to pass the blood-brain barrier. So the important thing is that those sugar groups get ripped off. Once those sugar groups get ripped off, you're left with diosgenin, and diosgenin seems to convert into DHEA in the body. And this is actually how DHEA is normally made too. You take wild yam, Dioscorea nipponica, you extract the furostanyl saponins out of it, you You hydrolyze them all, you yield a bunch of diastenin, and now diastenin is a precursor that you can use for steroid hormone synthesis. So basically all synthetic steroid hormones, even just testosterone, dihydrotestosterone that are made synthetically, they're all being made from diastenin. Same with DHEA and pregnenolone. So for a long time, I thought that conversion was only happening at lab scale, like in labs, where you're doing the process in a laboratory and you can control it and you can convert diastenin into all of these steroid hormones. There isn't a whole lot of really solid evidence of how diastenin is being converted to DHEA in the human body, but it does seem to happen, because if you give people either protodiosin, which is probably just going to turn into diastenin, or diastenin, you always see an increase in DHEA levels. And it's increasing these DHEA levels through a different pathway than just taking DHEA itself. So it takes a while for the sugar groups to fall off, and then you have a little bit of diastenin, and then that little bit of diastenin keeps increasing and increasing, and as that keeps increasing, you're also increasing DHEA synthesis, it seems like, or conversion to DHEA. So it means you're injecting DHEA into different parts of your body, basically, in that sense. Well, not injecting, but it's creating in different parts of your body. And that seems to be the bulk of the beneficial effects.
Mm-hmm.
And if we think about what pregnenolone and DHA is doing, normally it's producing a calming effect.
Yes.
For most people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you try Dioscorea nipponica by itself, it feels kind of like taking pregnenolone or DHA, but more pronounced, much more pronounced. And part of that is probably also because diastenin and protodiosin upregulate the 5-alpha reductase, the 5-AR enzyme, and that enzyme is again converting testosterone to dihydrotestosterone. Dihydrotestosterone being more androgenically active, can produce more mood-boosting effects, more libido, and motivation-enhancing effects. So that seems to be really important. We're getting this almost DHEA type of mechanism with this DHT enhancement mechanism. And through that mechanism, there sometimes seems to be a testosterone enhancement happening, and sometimes there doesn't. So there's some conflicting research about that. So I don't feel necessarily super confident in saying Tribugen or Tribulus or Dioscorea would boost testosterone levels, even though the mechanisms do seem to be there. Same with fenugreek. But the real driver here is that DHT effect and the DHEA effect. And the DHEA can have effects as a neurosteroid too, so it can have mood-boosting effects through that pathway. But I think that's really the important thing and why we focused on protodiosin. There are definitely a lot of other furostanol saponins that are present. So you see a lot of other companies, when they're standardizing their tribulus terrestris, they're not standardizing it to protodiosin, they're standardizing it to total saponins, not even very specific on the furostanol saponins. I'm not sure what kind of methods they're using. That probably sounds like a UV-Vis type of method. It might be inflating the numbers a little bit, but we're very focused on that protodeosin content because we know kind of what's happening to protodeosin over time. And that's really important to us because now we can predict some of the effects. So we always want to keep that protodeosin level consistent. And protodeosin is producing a lot of the other furostanol saponins. You remove a little bit of sugar, now you have diosin. And then there's a bunch of other compounds that I'm blanking on the name now, but it can form a lot of those compounds by ripping off those sugar groups. But not sure how active all of those are. I think the real benefit of glycoside compounds is that they have different pharmacokinetics, so maybe they're releasing a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that actually is almost like nature's own extended release mechanism, because it takes a while for all of those sugar groups to get ripped off and to turn into diastenin, so it's like a slow drip. If you were to take DHEA by itself, you get a much higher spike in DHEA, but it's going to be shorter lasting. Perhaps with something like protodiosin, you have a much longer increase in DHEA, and that can be beneficial. So we're really talking about the pharmacokinetics, and I think we should really do a podcast with an expert in pharmacokinetics and drug design work, maybe even, to see what their opinion is on these glycosidic compounds. Because if you look In pharma drug design, no one's putting glycoside compounds in. It just makes the compound bulky. There's really no functional purpose for those sugar groups, especially because they're getting ripped off. But in nature, a lot of compounds are in the glycoside form, and there do seem to be differences between the glycoside and the non-glycoside. So, for example, tyrosyl is the aglycone of salidroside. So salidroside is really just tyrosyl with some extra sugar groups on it. But salidroside and tyrosyl do genuinely feel different. So it's probably a pharmacokinetic thing. But the really important thing to mention here is proteoleosin can create diastgenin, DHEA. There is definitely research showing increases in DHEA levels with people supplementing with Dioscorea nipponica and tribulus, and especially those that are standardized to a proteoleosin content. So that really forms the base of Tribugen, that kind of androgenic hormonal type of effect. That's probably where a lot of the libido enhancement is coming from. You see in women, when you enhance DHEA levels, you see an increase in libido. For example, ashwagandha does the same thing and enhances DHEA levels, and we see libido enhancing effects in both men and women quite frequently with ashwagandha. So DHEA seems to be an important mediator, DHT seems to be an important mediator, and then for tribulus, the star of the show really here, that unique motivation and energizing effect is really important, which we also have optimized. So we've optimized the proteoleosin content, which optimizes that DHEA hormonal part of the equation, and we've dialed in the stimulating motivation focus, physical and mental stamina portion of it. And I think when you combine all of those together, you get a really unique product, and I can't really think of anything else that would necessarily compare to it. Which, looking around on Reddit and all of the really positive anecdotes, I think we really made a very successful stack here that is just a hit for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always worried about you when we're taking really stimulating stuff, because you can get overstimulated pretty quickly. And
yes.
I knew we were onto something with Tribugen when you took it with Lucas and you were chill. And you were chill afterwards. And you're
mm-hmm.
chill again now, even after a double dose.
Yeah.
So,
in fact, I feel more chill than I would had I not taken it.
Nice.
And just had my normal stack, which is kind of strange, but at the same time, I'm wondering if the Dioscorea nipponica and the cordyceps and the fenugreek, if those elements of the Tribugen stack are maybe a little bit easier to perceive
mm-hmm.
compared to the stimulating and motivating effects of the tribulus at this particular dose.
I think so too. Because we just took a really high dose of proteoleosin.
I was expecting to get a little bit on edge or jittery or
mm-hmm.
overwhelmed, but actually I feel the opposite. I feel like really clear-headed. So
mm-hmm.
I can't say that I'm disappointed, because I was expecting to be a little bit past my comfort zone, but I am surprised. And maybe this is something interesting to share for anyone who is curious about taking Tribugen, but isn't looking for like a pre-workout effect, or isn't a bodybuilder, or trying to do something that requires hardcore heavy motivation and intensity. Perhaps this can also be an interesting product to take for focus as well.
Oh yeah, and that's how I use it, by the way.
Yeah.
So when I am lacking focus, you know, you wake up, it's one of those days where you just can't get into gear. You don't feel that mental clarity that you want. You don't feel the drive and motivation that you need. I just take Tribugen. So I don't take it every day, but I take it very frequently because it's a tool for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I need that extra motivation, when I need to go on the computer and I just need to bang out a product description or a blog or write some emails, I reach for Tribugen. Because I could reach for a caffeinated beverage,
mm-hmm.
which I do from time to time too, especially with the... And I don't like combining Tribugen with too much caffeine, by the way. So that is an important thing to note, just in terms of interactions. Tribugen will make other stimulating things feel more stimulating because of the monoamine oxidase inhibiting effects.
Mm-hmm.
And it will make caffeine feel more stimulating. So if I do take them together, it gets really intense. I have taken like a cup of coffee. or drank a cup of coffee and then taken Tribugen together, and then you're getting even more beta carbolines from the coffee, more monoamine oxidase inhibition. That was a little bit too much of a good thing for me.
Yeah.
So I kind of alternate. Sometimes I think the caffeinated beverages like the Mushroom Magic coffee is really good when I'm on a call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a little bit more relaxed. I notice with Tribugen, I can be a bit more aggressive,
mm-hmm.
which if I'm on a call with someone and I'm not really agreeing with them, I kind of lose that barrier of like, hey, buddy, I don't totally agree with you. It's like, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're immediately going in there, in for the kill kind of thing. And that's not always appropriate on a meeting.
Yeah. But do you notice that now with the 4 capsules? Or is that something you mostly notice with a lower dose?
I don't notice it now because we're on the same page.
And it's always nice to chat on the Nootropics Diva podcast.
But like, if for example, like,
Let's say we got up on the wrong side of the bed and, you know, things were a little bit hectic in the setup. Mm-hmm. Perhaps in that situation,
mm-hmm.
we could be really clashing.
Like, there we could be clashing if, like, I was at the airport and my flight got canceled and they're not being very helpful. Mm-hmm. And I'm already normally agitated. If I have some Tribugen in my system, I might throw someone out of a window. Like, that's... And I'm normally a very chill guy, but... With Tribugen, there's like my fuse is a little shorter, and I think that's why people like Tribulus so mm-hmm. much. But I have to be careful with it because I think my personality revolves around me being a bit more reserved. Like, I can be very confident and things mm-hmm. like that, but I'm not necessarily aggressive.
It's under control.
Yeah, like I give people the chance. Mm-hmm. Whereas on Tribugen, and just in general on stimulants, especially mm-hmm. when my brain is really locked in and I feel very sharp and focused and someone is not on that,
don't get in the way.
Yeah, like, get out of my lane.
Yeah.
Like, don't slow me down, mm-hmm. because then I'm gonna get pissed, and that's not a nice effect to have when you're working with people that you like.
Yes.
And who
sure.
just aren't having their day.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe they brought their cat to the vet and they're thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not cognizant of that, and I'm just like, why are you dragging me down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the kind of effect I can get from Tribugen. So for me, it's not always the nicest to take in a social situation, mm-hmm. but it is great when I'm by myself and I'm just studying something, I'm researching, writing. But I do find that Tribugen is nice when I do have to be more assertive and aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm in a social situation where, for some reason, I'm in charge of getting the group from A to B, then something like this is nice. Because if I need to ask people questions that are not part of the group and I need to organize where we're going, then it's nice to have that kind of ferocity. But it's not nice when it's just kind of chill and everyone's on a chill vibe and you're like,
yeah.
in the corner.
Yeah, for sure. I know what you mean. Perhaps something that I've noticed with Tribugen today is that the confidence boosting and the mood boosting properties of Tribugen, that's the thing I'm noticing the most. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting like a really intense physical response. Like, I wouldn't say it's particularly relaxing or like muscle relaxing like some products can mm-hmm. be, and I don't feel like it's changed my feelings like in my stomach at all. I don't think it's having a perceptible effect on like my digestive system or anything, but I feel a lack of something, and that lack of something is the hamster wheel of questions that's constantly running in my mind,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, asking me things like, oh, did you remember to turn this on? Are you sure that's recording properly? Are the lights at the same temperature? You know, is there too much or too little noise? Like, all of these tiny little things sometimes can turn into ruminating thoughts, and this kind of machine is just on constantly in my brain. This is gone.
It
has been turned off. And this kind of effect, yeah, sometimes it's not easy to perceive when that's actually happening, because it's not like something's being added. It's more like something's being taken away. But for anyone who's experienced more of a calming effect from Tribugen, perhaps you've noticed something similar.
Mm-hmm.
It might not necessarily force you into this aggressive, intense, assertive category, but perhaps all of this kind of push towards more confidence, more motivation, more momentum, this can also just feel a little bit like a relaxing experience because you have less holding you back. And for me, this is providing a serious amount of mental clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought about motivation and energy really and how they related to like mental clarity. But the clearer I feel mentally, the more motivation I have, the more focus I have, and the more endurance I have to keep working at a project or to keep a conversation going, basically to stay engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And that is certainly something I'm feeling from the TribuGen today. Mm-hmm. I don't feel quite such a stimulated, like, bubbly difference like we did in the podcast with Lucas. That mm-hmm. was a really intense change from before we took that to after we took the TribuGen.
Yeah.
Today it's a little bit more mellow, mm-hmm. but it's definitely giving something unique and just like there's a bigger engine and that engine is humming and it's going at a nice speed and it could keep going and keep pushing and we could probably continue this podcast talking about all kinds of other things for a long time now because I'm in the zone.
And I think maybe one important thing to mention, the difference between us taking it now.
Mm-hmm.
We're both taking the same dose. We're both sitting next to each other. We're both comfortable with each other. We're just focused and we have an outlet for that energy.
Mm-hmm.
With the podcast that we did with Lucas, it was very different
yeah.
because it was the first time we had met Lucas in person. Mm-hmm. Like, we shook hands with him an hour before kind of hitting record,
mm-hmm.
got to know him. Like, I'd known him online, but I'd never met him in person. Mm-hmm. So, and we were very excited talking about the things he was going to do while he was in the Netherlands, the summit he was attending, and just getting to know each other. And then we hit record, mm-hmm. and then we took TribuGen.
Yeah.
And Lucas didn't.
Yeah.
And we are very used to talking fast and, like, almost fencing with each other mm-hmm. a little bit more, but then we're not used to that with Lucas
mm-hmm.
and Lucas didn't take TribuGen
mm-hmm.
so we were hopped up and like in another gear mm-hmm. and Lucas was maybe dragging behind a little bit
mm-hmm.
because he wasn't that engaged and like stimulated like we were
mm-hmm.
and I think because of that there was a bit more of a clash and I felt the stimulation more and I felt that I had to hold myself back
mm-hmm.
because I didn't necessarily have a sparring partner like I have with you now where you're on that same kind of trajectory and we can riff off each other really quick and
mm-hmm.
that's nice. So, and I've noticed this with certain things, like if you're with people who aren't into a certain thing that you are
mm-hmm.
and you're like, let's say you're going to a jazz show with someone who doesn't like jazz, it's going to be a very different experience than if you go with like a lifelong diehard jazz fan
mm-hmm.
and you're both vibing there, like at Jazz Cafe Alto. If you're ever in Amsterdam, go there. It's a really fun vibe. But when we've taken people there who aren't necessarily into that, it's kind of like, oh.
You like, start to see all the cracks and to feel all of the things that could be better, or maybe, yeah, maybe you notice things that make it not so comfortable or, yeah, not so clean and not so like the picture perfect classy jazz joint. But when you're there with a real fan, when you're there with people
mm-hmm.
who are super into it, like you pay attention and focus on the positive things and the things that are fun about it, like sitting super close to everybody in the audience and the fact that the people talking at the bar are being totally overshadowed by the blasting music coming from the stage and the guitar player is just closing his eyes the entire time as he's playing and you get to see people's expressions and there's a lot of intimacy and it's not a perfect looking environment and you get to focus on the benefits and what feels nice. And that's totally true with supplements also.
Yeah, if you're at this
mm-hmm.
place with someone who's not into that at all, and you can see they're uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to make sure that they're having a good time, now you're not having a good time.
Yeah.
But if you're there with someone who's into it, you see they're into it, they're getting stoked, you're getting stoked, you're feeding off of each other's energy, then it's
mm-hmm.
really nice. So, same thing with TribuGen, maybe if you're hanging out with people who are on that higher energy kind of level, then you take Tribugen, now you're matched, it's really nice.
Yeah.
If I'm taking it and I'm going over to like a very boring person's house and they're like trying to show me pictures of their deceased cat or something, and I'm just like, fuck am I doing here, then I'm gonna be jumping out of my skin
because it's too much, and because you start to feel you start to feel the ways in which you can't let off that steam, off that energy.
And here we have a nice outlet. It's pretty intense to do these podcasts, so it's nice having that intensity, and I also feel calm. But when we had to take a quick break because our camera battery was empty and I was standing up and walking around and I wasn't talking, then I felt like, I can vibrate through a wall. But now that I'm sitting here, I feel more calm. I am probably talking much quicker and more than usual, but it is nice to have an outlet. And that's something that Paul and I always said to each other when we were beta testing Tribugen. Like, you have to have something to do. So if you just take it and you're reading a newspaper, you're going to have a pretty awful time.
Unless it's a newspaper in a different language, which I do from time to time these days. Then maybe that could be exciting. Good. Might have to try that after we're done recording the podcast and see if it helps my comprehension or motivation, perhaps, to just keep going.
That could be a good one. But maybe for most people, you're just sitting there with pent-up anxiety at this point. Whereas if you take Tribugen right before going for a hike or a bike ride or a walk or a concert, something that there's an outlet for that extra energy.
Children's birthday party.
That's, next time we're visiting your sister, I'm going to be bringing some Tribugen with I can hang with the kids more. Because kids are like, they're taking 10 capsules of Tribugen.
They don't need Tribugen. They've already got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, I think that kind of wraps up this podcast. We're going to be experimenting with keeping the podcast a little bit shorter. I think there's a lot of you that like the long 2.5 hour podcasts, but I think it's also maybe nice to have some more around the hour and a half mark. So let us know what you think about a slightly shorter, more condensed, more intense podcast.
For sure. And as always, you can find more podcast episodes in our catalog. This is episode 30, so there's quite a lot of previous podcasts to choose from and to check out. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, and you can follow us on Instagram as well. But Reddit is really where the exciting, juicy conversations are happening. So if you aren't on Reddit and you haven't joined our community yet, definitely go check us out on our subreddit. That's r/newtopicsdepot. And go read through all the different posts and check out our different sections. There's so much to learn and there's a lot of activity now. So you can always chat with somebody about supplements and get some tips and new ideas for different products to try or different stack combinations to test out for yourself. You can also find the link for Tribugen to try it for yourself in the description of YouTube and also on streaming platforms. So if you want to give it a try and see what the motivation and the energy and the focus boosting properties can do for you, definitely check it out. As always, there's chapters and information and lots of links below, so take your time in going through it. And if you have questions about the podcast, save them for 1 week after the podcast, because we always do a Q&A post on Reddit where Emil answers your questions directly. It could be related to Tribugen itself. It could also be related to the other ingredients that are in this stack, not just Tribulus terrestris. And if you have specific questions about research or about some of the compounds, that would be a perfect time to ask them, because Emil takes a lot of time in making those responses for you. And you enjoy doing it too.
I do, yeah.
So with all that being said, thank you so much for listening to the In Search of Insight podcast. It's always really fun to talk about a new product and discuss a new effects profile and tell you a little bit more about the process behind Nootropics Depot. And next month, we're going to do the same thing. If you have questions, ideas, feedback for us, please let us know in the comments, and we will see you next month.
See ya. Bye.